Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Psalm 51, you know, it's probably a fairly popular psalm just because it's a psalm that David wrote. He's very acquainted with his humanity, and I think that partly why we identify with it is because, you know, we're acquainted with sin. Smile at the person next to you and say, yeah, that's you too. Yeah. So, okay. And in this, it's not just this confession of depravity and frailty of humanity. That's only a piece of it, because if it ends there, then there is no hope of forgiveness. There's no hope of change. And so David goes through these things. And I just want to highlight a couple of quick points and then continue to just kind of share with you and wrap up a thought as we go to communion. Psalm 51 has been a long time, I don't know if I want to call it a favorite, maybe, passage of mine, just because we know that sin separates, according to the teaching of Scripture, sin separates us from fellowship and right relationship with the Lord. And, you know, we don't even have to necessarily read the Scripture to know that. I mean, there is this common grace of God's Spirit upon humanity to convict us of sin and righteousness, and we get wrapped up in our lives. We know that things are not right. And so I'm so grateful for His grace and conviction. And so this chapter is one I'm just familiar with throughout the decades, I can say that now, decades of my life. Who laughed that loud? My son. My son, forsake not the teachings of your father. You want Scripture? The Bible. The whole thing. Anyhow, Psalm 51. David starts out and he says, have mercy on me, O God. I want you to know, for him to even approach God and say, have mercy on me, we have to have the insight and understanding that David knew where to go for mercy. Is that it is found in God, and in it that God is the judge. And yet in this judge there is a mercy. Right? Mercy triumphs over, Scripture says mercy triumphs over judgment. And so here is David going to God and saying, have mercy on me, O God. He knows where to go to find it. He knows that it is God's nature. He knows that there is hope for him. Listen, when we are any of us are caught in guilt or self-condemnation, or we know that we have committed an infraction or sin or deceit or whatever it is, it is a confession that we know God is holy and that our salvation is in Him alone, because if it wasn't, then, you know, we wouldn't be calling out to Him for mercy. And so here's David, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. Turn to the person next to you and say, His love doesn't change for you. Wait, that's only the first part. Here's the second part I want you to tell him. Okay? First part was, His love does not change for you based upon your performance. Say it. His love does not change for you based upon your performance. His love is steadfast. It does not change. We may change. We may fluctuate. We may be good, we may be bad, we may be holy, we might be sinful. Circumstance changes, our feelings change, our thoughts change, but God's love is steadfast. according to your abundant mercy. What kind of mercy? Abundant is something beyond even what we need. God's generous. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Love the word blot. Wasn't even the cross yet. But they knew about sacrifice in the Old Testament and the blood that was spilt. The blood blots out. You know what a blot is, right? I know what it is because I finished up this modest little home renovation in part of the lower level of my home, and that included finishing touches like painting. And after you're done and you look at it and then you go on the floor. Now, the good thing is that there was ceramic tile already down, not carpet. And I go, oh, paint blot. Got to scrape it up, okay? Blots things out. It's a blot. And so, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Verse 3, now listen to this. For I know my transgressions. Turn to the person next to you and say, hey, none of your business. I know my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. No matter what I do, no matter where I'm at, I'm aware of the burden of sin or unconfessed sin or the process of repentance, the recovery after. I'm aware. My transgression and my sin is ever before me. Verse 4, against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that, Lord, you may be justified in your words and you are blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. So, yeah, you can blame your parents. But not for your own conduct and what you know best. And they can go back to grandma and grandpa and great and go back all the way to the beginning. We were born in sin. And in sin did my mother conceive me. Verse 3 through 5 is a marvelous confession of David's sin. It was not an argument of why he sinned or justified why he sinned. He didn't come and tell the Lord, listen, I know I committed sin, but you know, I was a little bored. I was a little lonely. I didn't go out to war when all kings went to war. I stayed back this year, and, you know, I was just a little bored, and I just, you know, it just kind of got the best of me, and, you know, I know you understand, and, you know, it'll be okay. No. He didn't soften the sin he committed. He confessed. We know in 1 John it says that God is faithful to forgive us of our sins if we do what? If we confess. Come clean. No secrets. Not even, well, Lord, I know it and you know it, but I don't want to talk about it. You know, we both know, but I'm not talking about it. Friends, we need to go there and talk about it with him. He confesses sin. Verse 7 and 8, he says then, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. On this side of the cross, we can say, wash us with the blood of Jesus Christ that atones for my sin and blots out my transgression, that I can be made clean. The only thing that removes sin from us is the blood of Jesus Christ and the expression of faith in God's grace that he has given his only begotten for us. And so, purge me with hyssop, I shall be clean. Wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. There is a confidence in forgiveness. As David confesses his sin, after he confesses, he transitions and he expresses a confidence in forgiveness. In other words, is he saying, if you purge me, if you wash me, if the blood of Christ is for me, this side of the cross, you know, us now, if you apply your, it's spilled for me, I know there's forgiveness in your blood, even for my sin. And not just forgiveness, but you can restore which has been lost. Look what he says. Let me hear joy and gladness. Hey, listen, when we're caught in conviction and we know our sin, how much gladness and joy and singing are you doing? I mean, maybe you committed some sin this morning. Maybe on your scale it's small or big. Doesn't matter if it's a sin and you came into this place and all of a sudden this place starts breaking forth with praise and you're like, ooh, I'm still grieving and working through my repentance and forgiveness of what I just done or said or responded or the corruption that was within me that I knew was lurking there that no one else heard or saw. And we work through it. There's not a lot of gladness and singing. But as David confesses and he moves to this place where he expresses confidence that God is a forgiving God, if you have committed sin, we need to feel the sting, we need to feel the remorse, we need to feel the conviction, and we need to move towards repentance where we confess and turn from it. But do not let the guilt and condemnation hold you. We are supposed to then turn and hear gladness and express joy and let me hear it. Because the woe of my sin is still on me, and I know there's forgiveness, and I've confessed to Christ, but I can move from this confession of sin to a confidence in forgiveness. Let me hear joy and gladness. The bones that you have broken, in other words, under your conviction that I have felt, you can restore. I want to rejoice in your goodness, O Lord. Verse 13 through 15. Well, I'll read it to there. 7 and 8 we read. Verse 9, hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David's expressing a lot of humility here. And I think we need to follow the pattern that he set. That as we ask for forgiveness and we are assured of his, you know, as we ask for forgiveness and confess our sin and we're assured of his forgiveness, that there is this humility that comes on us that we need to express and that is becomes part of our nature. That we just say, renew a right spirit within me, because when I did this, and remember this, when David committed the particular sin that he is writing this psalm over, he was already a worshiper and believer of God. And yet there was something that was not right in his spirit. And as those things are exposed in us, we need to go through its recognition. And we need to, on the other side of our repentance, understand that, God, I need you to renew in me a right spirit, because there was something wrong in my spirit. Even though I went to the house of the Lord, even though I served or helped or did something, there was something that was not right. So, would you, Lord, renew in me a right spirit? What a humility David expresses. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. In other words, don't take away the Holy Spirit, the one who wounded me, so to speak, in conviction, that in turn has brought me to this place of forgiveness and health. Don't take the Holy Spirit from me, please. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, upholding me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach. Here's the wonderful thing. There's a confession of sin. There's a confidence in forgiveness. And now there is this cunning transformation. I used the word cunning because I couldn't come up with another C word. Okay? Want to make my homiletics teacher happy back from the 1980s. Never mind. Confession of sin, confidence in forgiveness, and a cunning transformation. Look what happens. Confession, he's being restored, okay? Confidence in the forgiveness, and then there's this transformation that takes place. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Look at this. Because when he committed sin, who was he thinking about? Himself. Right? Self. Now, through the conviction of sin and the confession and the confidence of forgiveness, now that there's this transformation, who's he thinking about now? Teaching others. His mind is not set on himself, but now it's about investing in others and his focus on the Lord. It's not about himself. That transformation, that difference between living by the flesh and living according to the Spirit. I want to read a few verses to you from Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hebrews. And it says this, and so you can close your Bible. I just want you to listen. It says, I am he that blots out your transgressions for my own sake and will not remember your sins. Turn to the person next to you and ask the question, you mean God can forget? The God who knows all things? Listen, when it is blotted out, it is forgotten. For I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Another verse in Hebrews, it says, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Psalm 103, verse 12. Don't turn there, I'm just going to read it to you. I'll start with verse 11, actually, and read through 13. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him, revere him, respect him, live according to him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him, serve him, revere him, worship him, respect him, live for him, trust him. As far as the east is from the west. You know, here on earth, we've got this compass, north, south, east, and west. Do you know that when you travel north, and you kept traveling north, there is a point on this globe that though you are traveling north, you begin to travel south. You understand that? Okay? You travel north and you crest the pole and you continue to go the same direction. You are no longer traveling north, but you are now traveling south. It is likewise if you travel south for a long ways and you kind of pass through Antarctica. There is a point, though you have not changed your direction, that you are no longer traveling south, that you now begin to travel north. But when you travel east, you always travel east. You make your way around the globe. You can crest the curve, and as you continue to travel, you are always going east. You will never travel west. If you travel west, you will never cross over somewhere where you begin to travel east. East and west never meet. North and south do. East and west never meet. When we confess our sin is separated from us like the east is from the west. It doesn't come around again. Somebody hand me their cell phone. I'm not going to make a call or anything. Does somebody have a cell phone? Jimmy here. Thank you, ladies. I'm going to use Jim's because if it breaks, he can replace this. There is something I do every day because I tend not to let my text message threads build up because then I got to scroll to find all these people. And I'm not OCD, but you know, when it comes to this, I'm a little, and it's just my personal thing, is when I'm kind of done at the end of the day with the threads of talking with people, so they just don't start collecting and just, oh my gosh, I can't, scroll, my thumb gets tired. I click on all the text messages that I don't need to keep. And then I click this button, this beautiful button. It's called delete. Delete. They are no more. There's this beautiful thing in my email, which you can do from the phone also, but you know, I tend to do it from my laptop. Thank you, Jim. I did not, if it doesn't work, it's not my, okay. Go to the computer and these emails that collect. And now that I'm done with, that I don't need to archive or save or anything, I can click on the selected ones and then I can hit delete. Now what happens though is they move to the trash, which means I can now go back and dig them up. And I want you to know that that very act, when God deletes our sin through his blood, that act of going back into the trash and digging it up is the work of Satan. And anybody who is doing that in their own life or in someone else's life, I don't care if they profess Christ. At that moment, they are doing a work of the devil. They are saying that Christ's blood is not good enough. Now, granted, for those of us who need the forgiveness, our life after confession has to prove and justify that the forgiveness was real by the way we are transformed and changed and now by the way we live. That involves moments of time to show and prove. But do you know what I like about the trash? Is I can go to my trash and click on all, and they all get checked. Down the page, scroll to the next page, scroll, all. And then there's this line in one of the bars near the top that says, delete forever. That I, when once I click that, they're gone. There's nothing to dig up. Nothing to dig up. I love the, deleted you? and then you try to bring it up, or I try to go back to it or dig it out or throw some condemnation on me or somebody else. Oh, I love the, okay, delete forever. When I click that delete forever, there's always this little hesitation of, do I really want all of this gone? I just pause, and then I say, oh, yes, I do. I want this junking up my trash can. I mean, it's like at home. I don't get to take my stuff out to the curb. I don't have a curb where I live. I have to run to the dump. I have to make a conscious effort to take these cans and recycling and metal and all the other whatever. I thought our garbage would get less when we had kids move out. I still have full loads with just three of us in the house. I sure hope you're not hiding some of my good stuff in bags and making me throw that out. Then because you can say, I didn't throw it out. Listen, delete forever. The blotting out. The irretrievable. Now, I know some of you geeks are saying, well, they're not really gone forever because we go back in your hard drive. And we can... Okay. You geeks. And I mean that in the most respectful way. Go get your geek translation, not Greek, geek translation, and, you know, let somebody else write that for you. But for the rest of us who, you know, who don't excel in those areas, and we're simple-minded, we like to delete forever, and that is what the blood of Christ does. Your mind may remember, but you do not live under the influence of that past. You confess your sin, I confess my sin, I become confident of His forgiveness. And then I go through a cunning transformation, and I'm not living for myself. Delete. When you start to go and delete things on your phone, when you begin to delete things and delete forever on your computer, I want you to be able to recall this and look at your own life. And maybe you'll have a moment at that computer as you click delete forever. And a tear may run down your face or fill your eyes. And say, Jesus, thank you so much for restoring, renewing, forgiving me. According to your steadfast love, that you love me not based upon my performance. He loves me based upon His nature. 1 Corinthians 13. God is love. If you're the person here this morning where you don't feel like you need some forgiveness, don't go digging through other people's trash. Mind your own business, saith the Lord. Oh, don't chuckle. I'm prophesying to you. Oh, pastor's being funny and made that up. Oh, no, I'm prophesying to you. You stay out of their trash. You mind your own business.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.